Hey guys, what's up? Welcome back to Woke with Anthony. I'm your host, Anthony Newton. Today, guys, I have a very special guest, one of my best friends. He's a marine biologist. He has degrees from Florida Atlantic University, as well as the University of Miami. He is currently working for UF in aquaculture. And, you know, this guy's really on the rise in the whole aquaculture and bringing it to the U.S. and, you know, just sort of starting just something that we've really been missing. And, you know, he talks about getting the jobs, and I just know you are going to love him and, you know, all the stories and information he has to share. Guys, I want you to give a warm welcome for my guest, my friend, marine biologist Alex DePue. What's going on, bro?
Nothing much. On vacation. Happy 4th.
Yeah, man.
Had a good time yesterday.
America. Yeah, man. Friggin' fireworks. I think it was better like that, though, to be honest. Like, you were just like, because, you know, everybody's so used to going to, like, downtown West Palm or, you know, going to, like, the bridge and, you know, seeing them shoot all the fireworks from the water. But, you know, yesterday everybody was just kind of doing their own thing. So there seemed like there was so many more fireworks.
Everybody had them.
Yeah. Like, so like everybody and their mom had fireworks, you know, it wasn't
all competing.
That's what it seemed like too, man. And, we had, you know, the rich neighborhoods. Oh, for sure.
We had none.
And we'll pretend, we had something, so.
Yeah.
Oh, man, so, let's get into, what are you doing these days, man?
So now I'm working working for the University of Florida.
Nice.
Basically, I'm trying to start doing a marine finfish aquaculture program to UF, so we're bringing the program, starting a new program there. So I'm actually at the Whitney Laboratory Facility, just south of St. Augustine. Just growing fish and trying to bring a program, getting all the licenses and permitting in place.
Nice. So, what type of fish are you doing right now?
So now we're doing basically, obviously, marine finfish. So any big ocean fish or intercoastal fish, we want to work with aquaculturing, but right now we're working with red snapper. We just finished growing red snapper, American red snapper, in our system now. So we produced about 10,000 juvenile red snapper.
Oh, sheesh.
And
that's a lot.
Only 4,000 liters of water. So two-ton tanks. So it's not really a lot, but for the productivity in the new system, it's pretty impressive.
Nice. Now, sort of get into, trying to tell them, why it's super important, for fish farming. You know what I'm saying?
So, fish farming, you can go two ways. Obviously, we need commercial fish. We need commercial markets that we need to eat, you know, because not enough fish out in the oceans. But also, to restocking purposes. Like, you can grow a fish and put it in the ocean to help repopulate the fish, the natural fisheries.
Gotcha.
But also, you can produce fish for food consumption that doesn't never even have to take it from the wild, and you can just go straight to market from your tanks. So obviously the scale commercial versus like small scale, you know, some of the big producers of commercial fish, like salmon, for example, the big one.
Gotcha. Yeah.
Some of the snappers are big commercially, like we talked about before, how you can get them at Costco.
Yeah.
And all that. So the best part is about it is like, it's sustainable.
Gotcha.
So the big thing is sustainability, you know?
Yeah, man. And I feel like a lot of people just sort of don't understand. And, you know, like, I get it, you know, as far as like just people, you know, they got so much other stuff going on. And I think because like you work in that area, you're able to see it like, you know, like full fold. And, you know, like, and for me, you know, I just try and take as much information, like, from people to sort of make, like, a, you know, just, like, one of those, like, personal, you know, things to sort of, like, help the environment or just learn different things. But yeah, freaking, I remember, crap, ever since you told me, like, tuna was going extinct, you know, like, I haven't had tuna in, like, legit, like, cause that, like, what was that? That was like five, six years ago. So yeah, I legit haven't had tuna since then. And, you know, like, and I think when people hear that, like, oh yeah, tuna's going extinct, you know, and they go, okay, you know, like, but the cans are still there. You know what I'm saying? And they're like, oh, you know, well, it's not going to make a difference, you know, if I grab one or two cans. And, you know, that's sort of like, it's just like a dumb way to think, just because, you know, that's sort of just like saying, you know, like supporting like these big companies or, you know, like these big organizations, like, oh, you know, like, well, you know, if I buy something from Amazon once a week, you know, it doesn't like do anything. But it's just like, you know, like, and maybe that's true, but like other people like follow example, you know, and like, you can just get that information out there. So, you know, that's like, I feel like that's like because of everybody thinks like that, you know what I'm saying? Like most people, that's sort of where we get like where we are now.
Yeah. And the best thing about aquaculture I like is like, look at, for example, the tuna. They take like 25 years to get sexually mature. You know, they can live up to 50 years of one fish.
Oh, sheesh, I didn't know that.
And they grow massive, you know? So, like, they take a long time to grow and get reach sexual maturity. So, if we're catching fish, fat, like, five-year-old fish that never even, not even close to be sexual mature, you're taking that fish away. So, like, another one. So, you're limiting the success of restock, like, the fish have naturally restocked themselves.
Yeah.
So, then that's the good thing about aquaculture is you have enough water, enough tank room, you basically can grow anything, you know? Obviously, it comes to what people think of aquaculture as in, like, oh, they got antibiotics, they got the growth hormones and all that. But it's not like that. Obviously, yes, some people probably do that.
Yeah.
Just like in the poultry and in the beef industry. 100%. Like, people do put hormones, some people, but the good producers don't have to.
Yeah.
Like, I tell people, like, you get the quality you want. Like, you get whatever you put into it, you get out of it. So, exactly. Obviously, if you want a cheap fillet and a cheap, low-grade quality, like, you might put all those fillers in, you know, like, the small farm in, I don't know, I'm like a bastard town or an area. But
yeah.
You know what I'm saying. Yeah. But a good quality place, hey, so fish meal, fish, even, like, a lot of the places, the feeds that you're feeding these fish. They're trying to better quality the feed too, like by limiting the fish meal and fish oil because it's so expensive and those are getting overfished.
So
like soybean replacements and different additives and different type of organic compounds that are as fillers, you know?
Now do you think that's like as far as like the fillers and because, you know, like just like you were saying, like some people are just gonna do whatever they wanna do. You know, and, but, like, you know, when you go and you buy, like, a salmon, because usually I buy, you know, like, I buy all wild caught just because it's, like, you know, like, the nutrients, it's more nutrient dense, you know, and I don't, you know, I definitely don't bash on, like, farm fish because, like, you know, some people do it right, but, you know, like, for people out there, you know, who are just, like, trying to go like, oh, you know, I'm going to buy this full bag of salmon, you know, from like Walmart, you know, and it's just like, it's just not the same.
No. So the thing about if people don't know about salmon, for example, a lot of the Alaskan salmon you catch are farm raised.
Yeah.
And they're farm raised to a juvenile and then they've stock enhanced to keep up the population.
Oh, that's crazy. So what you're saying is that, like, the even though you're farming them, you're not just keeping them there, you're putting them back in the wild.
And yeah, and then some that Alaskan salmon, that wild Alaskan salmon that you're buying,
yeah,
was probably once farmed and restocked at one point, and then they lived out their life as wild, you know? So, but also a good thing about wild versus farmed, which is another good topic, is, like, all those nutrition elements, like, you have all those. You get in feeds.
Yeah.
You put all that stuff in feeds. For example, the red color comes from a compound called astaxanthin. and they're found in krill, which they eat mostly shrimp and all that, that red color. Mm-hmm. Well, you can buy a concentrate of that, basically the pure form of that, and you put it in a mixture through, with the pellet, basically when you're building the pellet.
Yeah.
You know, or the commercial feed, because sometimes we put it, we made a mixture when I was at Miami for the broodstock to keep, they have a dose of vitamins every day.
Gotcha.
So they basically have a premix, astaxanthin, some egg stuff for their for the eggs and the quality of their spawns, some nice all organic mixture, but would stick it and stuff the sardines and the squid with this mixture so you can, you can feed it to them. So
it's okay,
basically getting the same nutrients that they could get in the wild, but we're altering it by feeding it to them.
Gotcha. Yeah, so, for sure. Now, how does that, like, how does that play a role as far as, like, is it more expensive to do it that way?
Obviously, it's more expensive, but you get a higher quality product. So, seafood, the good thing about seafood is seafood already has it, brings a high dollar, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
It just have high quality, the protein sources are better, everything, you know?
100%.
So, the omega fatty acids are all, you know, they're there. But, so the good thing is it's already a high dollar, but people will pay for a high quality product.
100%.
So, obviously, you're not get, you got to figure out a way to make it affordable by doing this way, but it's not deal breaking. It's doable, and a lot of people do it the right way, and you're surprised. Like sometimes, you, for example, tilapia is huge, and tilapia came a far away, but it used to be like the chicken of the sea. Like you get it, and you can put whatever seasoning on it, make it taste like whatever you want.
Yeah, tilapia
is literally so bland you can do that. But I know some tilapia producers that. You're like, wow, this is tilapia? That's like one of the best fish I ever tasted.
Oh, gosh. Okay.
But it's what they put into it. And they all organic, using aquifer water. You know, water's a big, water sources are big too. Like, if you don't have clean water, obviously you're not going to have a clean product.
Yeah. And like, so, like, how does certain people like set themselves apart? Like, as far as like the fish goes, like a Chilean sea bass. Like, you know, a Chilean sea bass is like freaking expensive. But it freaking tastes amazing.
It just the fish quality. Like so, basically, you like what fish do I want to grow, or with your big business or your small thing. So, for example, when I was working at University of Miami for the past 2 years, they were focusing on a fish that they wanted to bring to market that's not in a market yet. So, like cobia, they started doing that with Open Blue Sea Farms out of Panama, American based company. But then they were trying to bring in the market. The Nassau grouper, the American red snapper, and hogfish. None of them have a true market established yet, but they're good fish that they want to try to bring to market. So usually when a guy or a person, a company picks a fish or when an individual picks a fish, it's all preference. Like fish is whatever you can afford. Like obviously the more rarity of the fish or like the more – to zone, the rarity to a zone.
Gotcha.
You know, so for example, mahi-mahi's on every menu in South Florida.
Yeah.
But if you go to New England, you know, Boston.
Yeah.
Instead of mahi-mahi, you might have striped sea bass. You might have black sea bass. You might, you
trout.
Know, trout, flounder. You know, you won't have the tropical fish. Like where snapper's big here, snapper might not be big there. You go on the West Coast, they might have a species that's not on the East Coast.
Yeah.
You go to Asia, you go to South America, they have their own big species too. So I think the species goes basically in the area, and that's where you start paying more. Like if you're importing a species local to your local supermarket that's not caught right off your local supermarket, then
– Nice. Know. Now when like when going through – like when going through school, do they talk about – like do they talk about the ethical – like procedures as far as like, and I know you're sort of doing something like that's different. Like people do it, but it's just like, you know, it's not as big as just going to, you know, be like a scientist and just like that, you know, do whatever you do, look at molecules or like molecular structures or whatever. So, you know, you're sort of like doing like your own thing, even though it's like a thing, you know what I'm saying? Like, you sort of just like you know, it's not like a big, like, you know, there's not a big group of you guys doing this.
Yeah. So aquaculture is up and coming. Obviously agriculture came a long way and you see how that yep. is now. So it'd be the next wave would be the aquaculture. Aquaculture is like the next wave. So through my schooling, I started marine biology. I wanted to do science and swim with fish in some way, whatever it may be.
Yeah.
And then I took a course on aquaculture and I was into always doing piping at the time yeah. and plumbing and building yep. fish tanks and doing all that. So I was like, yo, this is cool. Like, this is like what I'm doing now, but at larger scale. So when I was doing the whole thing, we go into logistics, all the permitting, all the through school, all the ins and outs of the technical and feasibility aspect of aquaculture. And that's what all I did at University of Miami. So at University of Miami, I got my master's in aquaculture. So then from there on, that's how I got to do what I'm doing there. And from there, recently, I got hired by the university to basically take all the basically aspects I learned and start a new program.
Nice. Now, university. How does that, like, because, you know, and as far as you guys are doing, you know, like, you guys are trying to do this, like, you know, like, this right, you know what I'm saying? So you're, like, while, you know, making money and also, like, helping the environment, you know, like, there's, like, some ethical standards and just, like, how we were discussing, like, you know, when people just sort of, like, throw, like, whatever they want in there, is that, like, a wholesale thing? Or is that, like, meaning, you know, like, when you're trying to get, like, all of these fish to, you know, Publix's, the Walmarts and stuff like that?
I think it'd be, like, a wholesale. You have contracts. So the bigger your corporation, the big companies. For example, I can't speak for most of them, but Open Blue Sea Farms in Panama is a cobia farm. Well, they have basic contracts with Publix, like the biggest one.
Gotcha.
And basically they sell their fish to every Publix in the United States.
Now, is that like a because, you know, like, it seems to be, like, sustainable, but is that – that's probably not the best way of doing it, though, right? Because, like, it's just, like, you know, it's just like anything. It's just, like sort of like McDonald's. You know, you work on, like, you know, you got a million customers a day, and, you know, like, you have to get so much beef out there, and, you know, like, you can't just use Kobe. You know, like, you can't use Kobe beef. Yeah. Or like Angus for like every single thing,
and that's where they bring the that's why the price, and that's why you're looking at the price because obviously it takes more time, it's more expensive to grow larger quantity of fish, you know.
Yeah.
The commercial, so usually, and that's what a lot of the big players are doing when it comes to like the most expensive part of fish farming is the feed. How do I feed the fish? Because fish, you know, fish oil, which is the main ingredient, the omegas that you feed the fish where they can start producing their own omegas, you know,
yeah,
the buildup is the price of the feed. So a lot of the bigger companies are now looking into the science behind feed and finding the best nutritional diet that had the best growth. So not cutting corners, but more like how can I get the fish to grow better than it's doing now, you know, without fish meal and fish oil, what's the best protein source I can give the fish to get basically comparable and still stay on a good, healthy diet for the fish.
Gotcha.
Without cutting and giving basically shit.
Gotcha.
For example, when I was in one of the projects in Miami I was working on, I did a digestibility study on cobia. Basically, I had four protein sources, which is a poultry product, pork product, a tuna product, and a normal fish meal, fish oil product. So all different protein sources, and that had each feed was like basically a pellet feed that they formulated a diet and basically try to see the growth of the fish and how good digestible that product was for the fish. But they had a little tracker, like a dye in each pellet.
So gotcha.
Like when they analyzed the feces and all that, cause we had to squeeze the feces out. And when you analyze the feces, how much of the protein that was actually retained by the fish
okay.
and utilized.
Okay, like so the bioavailability.
Yeah, so
sure.
Basically you can see like, oh, wow. Like, for example, I didn't finally, and I didn't get the results yet because COVID happened. But
yeah.
But for example, like, oh, if the poultry meal were able to like hold that protein source longer than the tuna or the pork, like, well, then maybe poultry protein is a good alternative to fish meal, fish oil.
Gotcha.
A lot of people are using soy, but soy, that industry getting so big, it's like anything, the genetic markers and the thing is getting overly GMO, like, okay, you know, getting very modified. And obviously you can still find the good sources from the certain farmers and stuff.
Yeah.
But it's like everything. It's like people are trying to manipulate take over the market and just flush it, you know?
And pretty much just like, because basically, you know, it's trying to
supplement.
Yeah, and they're trying to make it faster so they can get it out quicker and make more money.
Yeah.
Yeah, see, like, that's the, and it's just, you know, the same with, like, big companies, you know what I'm saying? It just, like, I think it sort of, like, taints the, just the actual makeup of, like, what you're trying to do. Because I'm sure, you know, like, I'm sure these people, like, set out to, you know, sort of like, oh, you know, like, yo, we can do this because, like, you know, like, our oceans are obviously getting overfished and things like that. So they were probably like, oh, yo, like, this seems like a good alternative. And then they go, oh, crap, like, look at all this money, you know, and you sort of get the, like, you know, you get the thing in your mind, like, oh, crap, you know, like, you know, let's try and get it out. But, like, then you sacrifice a lot of the
quality over quantity.
Exactly. And that seems like a, that seems just like weird, man. And it's sort of the best to sort of watch, like, you know, just because our age group, you know, like mid to late 20s, you know what I'm saying? Like, you're starting to see everybody sort of like go into their own thing and fall into like, you know, like, you know, opening up their own stuff,
their own niches,
yeah,
market,
or, exactly, or and
career.
And you start to, like, you know, but then you look at people, like, in that industry, and it's just like, okay, like, these people up here, you know, like, while it's like, oh, you know, they're known, and, you know, they, like, you know, they're supposedly good, it's like, you're not going to get the same service from, you know, just like, you know, saying chiropractors, like, for ABBA, you know what I'm saying? Yeah. Like, him and Julie, you know, they're doing their thing, and you know, they're like with the patients. You know what I'm saying?
And they're doing a different take. They did they went in school for the traditional style.
Exactly.
And they realized the traditional style is not
working.
You know, it's like, for example, same. So at University of Miami, aquaculture. So aquaculture is not big in the United States yet. Obviously, they're trying to pass it and bring it more because the United States is far, far behind of every other country.
Yeah.
Europe, South America, quadruple behind China and Asia.
Oh, gosh.
So the United States has to get a far way to go. And I think the big obstacle I'm trying to tackle by getting into this, because obviously I want to do it for the sustainability and the environmentally friendly way to do it, because I believe it could be done, you know, if you do it the right way. But so I talked with my new boss and the professor I'm working with now at the university. And we came to terms with the university that we want to go a different route. Like, Miami goes commercial. They focus on the private sector and do all that. We want to work with the state and federal levels, the governments and all that, for purpose of restocking and try to fill the voids of some of the fish that are perishing, you know, overfish and all that. But not only that, are planning to work with institutions, sharing knowledge and sharing information on how to make aquaculture grow in the U.S. Because we not only will you increasing knowledge and research, but you eventually the private sector will come because the knowledge is there. And not only that, they'll open up more jobs and then make a flourishing, you know, bring in jobs back to the United States, like bring in fish farming. Like, we export so many of our products that we catch, and we import 90% of our seafood. Like, why – when we can grow it in our backyard, you know? So, like, the biggest thing that I'm looking at is, like, for example, we grew 10,000 red snapper for the first trial just for proof of concept. But through that 10,000 fish, we sent maybe 6,000 to 2 farms for private, you know, private sector.
Okay.
But then we sent, like, 1,000 fish to Auburn University to help them do some research studies that we'll get a collab with.
Nice.
We sent some back to Miami to do some collaboration work with. And in the future, we're reaching out. We want to work with different schools doing aquaculture and say, hey, what can't you grow? And we can grow it for you, and we'll send you the babies. What to do research together, you know, like kind of collab and like get that knowledge out there to grow aquaculture as a industry and not just keep all the information. Oh, I can grow anything. I'm going to keep it to me. And I'm going to, you know, sell it to the private sector, because the private sector is not doing that good either. Especially now you're looking with COVID and everything going on, like everything's shutting down. So
dang, man, that gave me like goosebumps, like a little stiffy, you know?
Yeah.
And no, but man, it's just like, dude, people don't know. And so, you know, like when you were, you know, when you were talking about like getting the information out, dude, that's so important. You know, and just like here, you know, like that's really all I try to do, you know, and do like, because information is so crucial. Like yeah. People just don't know, you know, like I'm sure like, you know, nobody's just like, cause nobody's thinking about that. You know, like when they go pick up tuna, you know, they're not going, oh, like tuna's at sink, you know, cause like most people don't know, like yeah. They see the shelves stocked full of tuna and they go, oh, you know, like whatever, you know,
it's like obviously gotta be a thing. Like it's here. Like, obviously, it can't be overfished. How the cans every time I go in there, you know?
Exactly.
No, but, and also, too, the coolest thing is, like, when I show one of my, a fish picture to somebody of the fish that's swimming in a tank, and then you say, yeah, in about 12 months, you can eat this fish on someone's plate, and they're like, what? It's like watching your stuff grow and, like, reaches the market size, and you're like, yeah, we produce this, like, for people to enjoy, like, you know?
Nice.
Like you could go catch a fish, the commercial guy go catch fish all the time, but they don't care. They're not doing it like, oh yeah, this is gonna go to the public and this is gonna, you know, be good
exactly.
for everybody. No. But they're like, oh, we're gonna catch it and make the money and then sell it to somebody else. But our product, you like when you start doing it yourself, and a lot of the private sectors do it too, the smaller guys. You're producing a product that you can showcase to the public and be like, hey, this is for you guys. Like, great. Quality fresh product that I'm bringing to you guys for you guys to enjoy type of
exactly.
thing. It's like a, you know, you got weight behind it, you know, you're proud of your, you know, but
for sure, bro, for sure. Oh yeah, man. So, let's go into your Panama trip. It's all you got, like, you got, like, sick or whatever,
so
but, like...
Sick. It destroyed me for months.
Yeah, yeah,
Don't eat sushi in a... when you're at a sketchy place.
Oh, gosh, yeah. That's, Man, yeah, man, when you just go to, like, weird places and you're like, oh, no, it should be fine, you know, and
or maybe the water, I don't know.
Yeah, it could have been something. But, yeah, well, like, what... Like, how was that trip? Like, what were you doing over there?
So basically, we went over there, to Panama. We went to a tuna farm, tuna research facility where they're trying to raise, grow yellowfin tuna.
Okay.
In captivity and basically spawn them. So we went over there and did a couple of research projects, working with the larva rearing process of tuna. And it was okay. It went better than we thought it would go, but obviously, we're just trying to show the company there some new methods, you know, and how they work. They're an institution over there, too. So we went there for, like, I don't know, it felt like forever, 20 days?
Yeah.
10
it was
days.
Definitely seemed like you were over there forever.
And then from there on, I went to visit the Open Blue, that American-based cobia farm.
Okay.
Over there, and basically went and saw their offshore cages and saw their facility. And that was insane, a commercial scale on another level. They have pens on the, like, super far offshore that of submersible, so they go under the water and you don't even know they're there. And then they increase it with air. They have little like tugboats and stuff, barges around,
gotcha.
And they can fill them with air and they come to the surface. And basically, that's how they feed them and stuff. But because people don't like seeing them, and they get all the weather and all the, and basically the environment, you know, can take some wear and tear on, you know, all the material. So that you can sink them now. Like, technology came so far.
Dang, that's so crazy.
Yeah.
So, how was Panama though? Like the actual, like just the place and the people.
So it was good. Panama is literally in a jungle.
Oh.
And like no, I got some few locals, but it was nobody. It was a bear. It was a bunch of monkeys, like legit howling monkeys, and stealing clothing, stealing food.
Oh, dang. Yeah, monkeys do steal shit. I heard that.
Freaking loud, yelling at you. Scorpions, spiders, crabs. Like, yeah, it was very rainy when we went. I think I actually went this time last year. I was there for 4th of July last year. I was in Panama.
Yeah, that does. I remember. So, I remember, yeah.
There was a little hostel down the street that we went and got some beer at, you know. Okay. It was a nice little place, like little beach town right outside the jungle. But, no, it was cool. On the other side, so that was on the Pacific side. And then we went to the Atlantic side because it's crazy. You can go Pacific to Atlantic in one day, this drive.
Huh.
The coast. So we went to the Atlantic side. That was Open Blue was, and that was in. We went to some very very dirty towns.
Like, yeah, I can only imagine.
But it was nice. It was cool to see the difference how people live. You know, I traveled a little bit of my time, so it was nice to see another country, Central America. You know, and see how the Panama City was cool. We walked around a little bit. Didn't spend too much time in any of the big cities, mostly in rural areas, but it was cool. It was different.
Nice. Let's go into a little bit of the coral reefs and, you know, just like being a marine biologist and everything. Like, why are the coral reefs so important? And I know that there's a lot of like documentaries and videos on, you know, trying to bring corals back and just like the devastation of, like, you know, whether it's global warming or just like people just overfishing and being a-holes, you know what I'm saying?
So coral reefs are important because like basically they're the starting, other than intertidal areas like mangroves and all that, coral reefs are basically the starting point of like a lot of like small fish and, you know, like juveniles. They find safe havens and coral reefs amongst like the rocks and the corals and all that. So not only is it vibrant and beautiful for like tourists to see, but it has a big impact on the marine ecosystem. So like, for example, if corals start dying, they don't have these homes, these safe havens, like bigger fish are going to pick off the little fish easier. And then certain fish are going to not have any spawning area, like basically larval rearing areas for like their fish to grow up. Like it just, a big thing. So like a lot of people are doing projects because of global warming and trawling and a mixture of stuff, but the water is getting more acidic and hotter, so a lot of the corals can't handle it. So people are finding areas or waters by like GIS mapping and all that.
Gotcha.
Finding areas that have not got so affected, and they're doing rehabilitation centers where they plant. And they have large fields of trees and makeshift little areas where they glue frags of corals. And as a coral can grow, and you could take basically surgically cut a piece of it off, like a kind of like a tree branch.
Yeah.
And you put it in water, or you obviously have it in water.
Yeah.
But you try and put it down in the right type of area, and it can grow again, like rebud itself, you know, regrow itself. So that. They're kind of cool because they're like, I don't know if it's called asexual budding reproduction. I don't know, but something along those terms. But basically, you can grow again. So you can cut a piece off, put a little glue, put it on a rock, put it down there in this good new clean water, and that's how they have these coral farms start taking off.
Gotcha. Yeah, I'm super confused with because I sort of, you know, like I watch the documentaries and I try to do like research, you know. But it's like, I'm not sure. So is it like the actual, like, so the dying of the corals, it has to do with the waters being acidic, or is like, is that why, like, do the fish leave, or?
No, the corals are dying themselves. Cause so corals are living.
Yeah.
So corals are living organisms. So they've made a, basically a coral, the colony of organisms.
Gotcha.
And basically when the temperatures are not adequate for the basically the colony of the organism, they can't survive, and they start to die off. And we need organisms that bring the color and all that stuff to the corals, because the coral makes basically the part you see, the majority of it is basically a calcium carbonate exoskeleton of the coral.
Gotcha.
So, like, they produce a calcium as they grow. So when you, the bigger the coral, the more, the older it is, the more calcium it builds up. So you can physically see that portion of the corals. So when you see the white coral, you know, the bleaching and the dying corals, usually you're seeing the exoskeleton behind, but you don't see the organisms that were living amongst that, you know, the organisms that are living amongst that calcium carbonate exoskeleton. That's, those are the things that are dying and disappear because of the higher temperature waters and this, the acidity increase. Like they can't tolerate it, you know?
Gotcha. Is there a way, like, because, like, and obviously, like, with all the greenhouse gases and just, like, you know, the way we sort of live as human beings and the factories and all that stuff, is there a way, and I know the whole, like, planting thing or whatever, is there a way to make the the surrounding areas, like, the water, like, cooler? Or is that something that...
I'm sure there might be a way, but I don't know. I know a lot of the research that they're doing is they're trying to take corals that are rare to an area or something and try to bring them in artificial waters and kind of, like, bring them back.
Gotcha.
And put them back there later, hoping that they're a little bit more tolerant. But also, I know a lot of the... Unfortunately, it's sad because you're only picking four, but a lot of people are researching corals that have a high tolerance to this, and they're going to work on growing just those corals. At least there's something, you know?
Yeah.
Maybe an area can't support this coral anymore, so they're going to bring in this other species of coral that can tolerate that water and kind of, like, introduce it into the area, you know, to at least have something for the ecosystem, you know? Even though it's maybe invasive, I wouldn't say invasive, but maybe not native
to that area,
but that's just...
You sort of have to do something, you know? Exactly, and, and there's still corals in the world, you know, like...
Oh, yeah.
So is it just, like, so it's just the cooler water thing? Like, are they, like, studying, like, you know, like, why are these corals staying around and not these ones?
Yeah, and that's it, and that's, some of them have different tolerances. Just, like, for example, like, you can keep a house cat in a house and it's basically domesticated enough. It lives, you know, different lifestyle, but you try to put a tiger in a house, it's a total different animal. You know, they're both cats, you know, they're both, you know, from the same, I would say, line, but it's just different. Some fish can live in higher salinity waters. Look, fresh and saltwater fish, for example.
Mm-hmm.
They're both fish, but obviously one can live in salty water and one can't, you know? So the salinity, and it goes even with different temperature ranges. Like, why does mahi live in tropical and not up in New England and Alaska? Why is salmon up there and not, you know?
Can't bull sharks are the, like, they're one of the ones that can live in fresh and salt water, right?
Bull sharks suck.
Bull sharks do suck. Yeah, that's like...
It's so scary.
I've never come in contact with a bull shark.
I've been pretty close.
Yeah.
Diving in Miami, yeah.
Oh, man. Yeah, that's sketchy.
Oh, yeah. When one swims up on you because it's curious, yeah, it gets you going a little bit.
Oh, man. And so, wait, what were you doing, though?
So, down in Miami, right off of the key, like, we go lobster and stuff.
Gotcha, yeah.
So... And this happened in that area. We had this Miami Sea Aquarium.
This was down there. Like, you were down there for mini season?
No, this Miami working.
Okay.
I'll just go off on my lunch break and go dive in the off the bridge.
That's such a cool thing.
I know. Get paid to go dive. But yeah. But over in Miami, Miami Sea Aquarium has, like, a little outflow where they kind of push all their old fish and old carcasses and their everything that's from feeding. You know, they're leftover away from feeding. That... Basically, lunchtime comes around every day, and the sharks start coming in. There's a video a few years back that supposedly it was like a GoPro. Someone put a GoPro down in that area, and there's like 7 to 8 massive bulls just swarming the area. So every once in a while, you see them come in through the bay, and go under the bridge and just chill, look, waiting for be that dinner time bell to ring. And you swim around, you're like, hey, big guy.
Oh, gosh. Dang, that, yeah, that's like, that's sketchy. Because, like, I've been around a lot of nerf sharks. I even seen a couple black tips, which, you know, black tips, you know, like, they'll leave a pretty good bite, but, like, you know, people usually survive. But, like, whenever you start seeing, like, weird stuff, like bulls and hammerheads, you know, it's like time to get out of the water.
Yeah.
You know, like, and so I'm just like, you know, and it's, has there been any sort of, because I know, like, those shark people, like, there's, like, you know, people who try and, like, hey, you know, like, hey, you know, let's be friends with the sharks, you know, and.
Oh, Miami of big shark people, the shark researching.
Yeah.
They had all the fancy new clothes and hats and sponsored by Costa. I kind of low-key jealous, but I just wanted a shirt.
Yeah.
But, no, there's a lot of shark research going on because sharks are endangered, too.
Yeah.
They're highly endangered for overfishing, too, because of their fins.
Oh, yeah, yeah, and that's, like, the, in other countries, they do, like, the fin soup or whatever.
Asian countries.
Yeah, 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 that's what, yeah, I didn't, like, I didn't want to say that. I don't know if it's, like, PC. But I knew, yeah, it was a bunch of,
they're basically overfishing them to basically almost extinction, too. Like, a lot of sharks are getting red-listed for endangered now. Because, basically, even bycatch, trying to catch them. All the animals, all the fish and stuff that they get caught up in bycatch.
What's bycatch?
Bycatch is basically fish that are not targeted. Like, say for example, you're wanting to catch tuna.
Mm-hmm.
You have these big, long nets, and instead of just catching tuna on these poles, on these lines, you're catching turtles, dolphins, sharks, anything else other than a tuna, that would be considered bycatch. You know? So if I'm going to catch snapper, and I do, or bait. Say I'm catching bait, and I throw a cast net out, and I catch a bunch of just bait fish and all that stuff, and I'm not catching, I caught all the stuff with a little bit of what I wanted.
Yeah.
All that stuff in bycatch.
Okay, gotcha.
But usually bycatch for commercial guys ends up dying.
Yeah, yeah, that's so like a lot of stuff.
Yeah, so like, it's kind of wasted, you know?
Dang, man, and that sucks too, man, because those, like, you know, those guys are just like, because I get it, like, for, like, certain countries who are just trying to, like, find a way to eat. And that'd be cool, you know, if that was just, like, you know, because if we, like, if just, like, it was, like, old days, right? And we were just like, dang, yo, I gotta eat, you know? Like, I gotta find me something to eat. You go get enough to eat, and then you go, okay, you know, like, my family's fed, like, I'm cool. You know, and then you maybe go back out there the next day. Mm-hmm. But it's not like, oh, let's throw a big giant net in there, like, you know, kill, you know, catch, you know, a couple of fish that we really need, and then just, like, sort of, like, the dolphins that are in the net, you know, the turtles that are in the net, just, like, kill everything else.
Yeah.
And that's, like, a crazy thing, and people don't actually understand, like, because, and these are, like, animals that we need, you know what I'm saying? And they don't understand that either. It's just, like, you know, you see something and you're just like, oh, okay, you know, they're just doing, like, whatever. But, like, you know, when you start killing off, like, you know, especially, like, sharks, you start killing off, like, predatory species, and now you got a bunch of something else that are, you know, like, whether it's, like, non-native or it's just a bunch of fish, you know, and you just got them swimming everywhere. And so everything, like, the ecosystem's so fragile, bro.
All balanced.
And, yeah, and, like, humans, just like literally the problem with everything. Like, I just don't,
the,
like,
smartest dumb species on the planet.
Oh my god, it really is, like, it really is crazy. And it's just like, but, you know, it's everything, it's because everything from that, like, that almighty dollar.
Yeah.
It stops, you know, it starts with just, like, you know, everybody's trying to get that dollar. So, like, we're just, like, in peril, you know what I'm saying? Because, like, you know, it's just like the people up here and the sugar companies and the pharmaceuticals, and they're all sort of working together, you know, just like, oh, and like going back to, you know, like the ethical standards of just like, you know, like farming a fish, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like fish is good. Like fish is supposed to be like one of the, like, I mean, one of the most nutrient dense, like meat.
Yeah.
And, you know, like on earth, you know what I'm saying? And, you know, like, we find some way to, like, you know, put, like, added sugars and, like, you know, different weird fillers in there.
Hormones and, but then I like to show people, like, also, like, that's not, like, big. Obviously, like, there's different chemicals. For example, I was talking to a friend the other day, and I was, like, explaining how we anesthetize the fish. And they're like, well, what do you use to anesthetize the fish? Like, when you're moving a fish or when you're catching them, you know?
Okay,
gotcha. You don't want to stress out the fish. You can't keep it flopping around, you know?
Yeah.
So you anesthetize it. And they're like, what kind of chemical do you use to anesthetize? I'm like, well, we use clove oil. Clove oil, like, you cook with.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
Literally, it's an organic, you know, thing. You get the spice from spice shops, and you literally can use a certain portion of it, you know, and you can anesthetize the fish naturally with that. And there's
no sort of side effects, no weird
and
stuff
obviously
going
they,
on.
And they knock out, you know, get into like a trance state, and then after you're done, a little bit of time passes, they start swimming again, they're perfectly fine. You know, like, but it's natural.
Yeah.
It's not excess stuff needed, not like a chemical, you know. And a lot of the stuff, you know, if you can use it for like that. A lot of the when you have to kill a fish, there's humane ways to do it. You know, there's like, you don't need all these extra chemicals and antibiotics and all that needed. Like, I was talking to my boss the other day, like, sometimes, like, people are like, oh, well, you need to do a lot of antibiotics to make sure the fish don't get sick. I'm like, but if you, for example, sometimes you get bacteria in your water, you know, that naturally grows, you know, and if it outcompetes. So we were doing a study where just live microalgae, basically microalgae in the water, we, like, basically harvest our own microalgae up there. So different strands of microalgae. So basically it's, you got macroalgae, which is like a lettuce, like a seaweed. Microalgae is basically what you see in the tides, you know, like the red tide and green tide.
Yeah.
So basically that's just a high concentrated different species. Obviously those are more harmful, but you can do good positive cultures of these basically green water that we call it, you know, green salt water. But but if you put that in the tank, it controls the bacteria levels, the bad bacteria levels.
Oh,
naturally.
Nice.
So basically the bacteria and the algae outcompete those negative ones. And basically it's a natural way of controlling your water quality without the need for antibiotics, without the need for, you know, all these additives to keep the fish healthy.
See, now that's like, that just seems like a, you know, especially being in your field, you know, like, and you're still growing and there's like people that's been, you know, doing this, you know what I'm saying? And is it just like, it's just like the fact that they don't care? Like, how can you, like, how are you able to, like, turn something like this around to, like, you know, people, like, doing, you know, people doing these things humane and
just cutting corners, you know, like, getting to that dollar faster. Like,
yeah.
Like, for my boss, like, my new boss is, like, one of the greatest guys I met ever so far, and he's all about not cutting corners and doing it the right way, you know, being successful. But it's also the uneducated. Like, people, okay, I'm going to go grow fish tomorrow, and I buy all the equipment, I can have all the stuff, and I can hire a couple guys, like, hey, you guys can do this, right? And they're like, yeah, we can do this. But they're doing it, but they don't know how to do it. They don't know the right way to do it. It's like the lack of education goes back to.
Yeah.
Like, you know, people not knowing, and with the education not being here in the United States, and a lot of people don't even know the right parts about aquaculture in general. Like, aquaculture has so much negative press because of the lack of education there, you know?
Yeah, lack of discipline,
so
cutting corners.
And that's why more people cut corners already, probably, is because they don't know how to do it. They don't know, and they don't know how to grow microalgae. They don't know that you can not need antibiotics. They don't, you know? Some people, but once you show them, like, hey, look, we grew all this without any of that. And they're like, wow, that's pretty cool. How do you do that? Oh, here's the knowledge. Now go grow it yourself, you know?
Like, nice. Now, do you think, Do you think some of that has to do with, like, big companies, you know, like big farm, like big pharma, you know, just like because, you know, of like these people need like antibiotics, you know, they have to like, and it's sort of like a money flow thing, you know what I'm saying?
It's a little bit different than antibiotics. It's more for like pet based, you know. So
okay,
you
gotcha. Use, so it's
not for like a human or anything.
Okay, gotcha. So
it's more like certain antibiotics, like you have like a certain bacteria that you know is okay. There, and they have like, oh, this antibiotic cures this bacteria. But no, I think it's more because for the longest time, the people used antibiotics, but they didn't know the repercussions of it.
Gotcha, gotcha.
You
yeah,
know, like know as was... more science comes out, and like, oh yeah, these are maybe not the best thing because this, this, and this. And now people are like, okay, and a lot of people are learning because it's still fresh.
Right, yeah, it's still,
fresh, you know, like even though like it's been around in another country, but think about it, these rural countries that are doing it for years, that science still not there. They're like, parents did it, their parents did it, their parents did it, and like they're passing on a manual that they had, you know?
So it's not like, oh, well,
how do we fix this? Like, no, we just got a job and my dad did it, so I learned how to do it. Like, I don't know, you know, maybe they know how to grow the hell out of some fish, but they don't, maybe they don't know why they're like, what's the proper, you know,
the ins and outs of it.
Or they don't even know why they're improving it. Like,
gotcha. Yeah.
You know, why can't I have to do that anymore? What's the big point if I put an antibiotic in? Like, oh, well, this is why, you know?
Yeah, for sure.
That lack of knowledge is just not there. So I think that more people learn and more education in the United States and even in other countries, a lot of people, like, all the narratives, like, maybe one person would use antibiotics and NGOs would jump all over that, you know, people against aquaculture, like, oh, see, they did antibiotics. Maybe that one out of 10 farms did it. Yeah. So, like, everybody did it, you know?
Yeah.
Or, like, one farm had a cage that broke and a lot of fish got out and escaped. And, oh, aquaculture is endangered to the wild population because they're mixing. And these ones have antibiotics. That's only one cage, you know. Like,
yeah.
That's rarity. Like, yeah, it happens, but especially in 2020, we know a lot of stuff happens. Mm-hmm. Like, it doesn't mean it's all bad, you know?
Yeah, exactly.
But,
yeah, man, that just, it really, man, I just think, yeah, like, because the lack of information, and it's just, like, I think it's going to be better for, you know, like you and then the other people coming up, you know, and like one day you're going to be like training somebody and, you know, you're probably going to have your own group, you know? So it's going to be like, yo, this is how you do it. Right. You know what I'm saying? And so that sort of gives like, you know, it definitely gives me hope, you know, that like, you know, we can sort of like change this around, you know, and it's not just like, because it's sort of, you know, and at this point, you know, it's like, man, you can't really, you know, like, you can't teach an old dog new tricks, you know what I'm saying? So it's just like, you know, just like you were saying, it's like, okay, like, I've been doing it this way, you know, like, I'm making money, the fish seems to be, like, okay, you know, like, what's the, you know, like, what's the difference, you know, like, why am I gonna, like, you know, maybe, like, spend just, like, you know, even if it's, like, an extra 30 seconds, you know, like, why am I gonna spend an extra 30 seconds just on this, you know what I'm saying? So it's just like, it's like, man, you know, but like with the new people coming up and sort of like being able to have that different information, it's going to be like, it's going to be really, really good. Oh, man. Yeah. So let's go into just like the future of everything, like, you know, whether it's marine biology or, you know, like what you're doing in the aquaculture or just, you know, just like, the environment in general, you know, like, where do we go from here?
Well, with the environment, obviously, people need to start being better.
People just need to not suck.
Yeah, people need to open their eyes and then go outside and see what's going on, you know?
Yeah, and the information's out there.
Yeah, it is. There's documentaries out there telling, and there's literally graphs and charts and showing how hot it's getting, and hurricanes are happening worse and worse every year. Fires are starting more and more every year. Like, the signs are there. Like, the earth is like, yo, stop. Like, so, like, people just need to start changing lifestyles, you know, and living better. And that's ultimately will help us, you know. and as a whole, but for aquaculture, I think aquaculture in the United States is the future. You know, obviously, we need to do something. We need to bring, you know, stop importing so much of our seafood, so much of our everything. We import everything from other countries. So, like, the more and more that we bring it back to the United States will help our economy for sure. And then aquaculture, as knowledge gets out there, I think the private companies would start coming more and more, you know.
Yeah.
As more people, more knowledgeable, and all that happens, that more companies will start forming in the United States. Smaller companies probably start forming in the United States and bringing more jobs, you know. And, again, helping feed the U.S. citizen, the U.S., you know, help feed, be like a sustainable food source, you know.
Yeah.
But, yeah, there's a lot of stuff needs to change, and I think we're in the right direction, though. I think people are waking up and realizing, like, what needs to be done, you know, with everything going on, especially, again, this year. I think it opened the eyes of a lot of people.
Yeah, man. So, for sure, yeah, and it's just where we are, you know, just as a society right now, and small businesses, and just, like, yeah, just all the everything going on right now is sort of like, I hope it opens like a lot of people's eyes, you know, just like, you know, and because even, you know, and the funniest part is, you know, like when all of this started happening, you know, and everybody's just sort of quarantined in the house, you could literally see like outside, like, you know, how everything was changing, you know, like they were like, you know, the oceans were seeing, like, you know, like friggin' things they haven't seen in forever.
Dude, like, air quality was going down with all the airplanes and all that. Like, China had the most significant air, like, less air pollution it had in forever. Ever, yeah. Italy, all Europe had it too. LA had it. Like, it's crazy, but and that, what was that, month in?
Exactly.
A month of better living?
Dude, just like, and you know, it's not even like, it's not even the fact that, you know, it, like, it wasn't even just like a freaking, oh, you know, like, you just have to stop everything, yeah. You know what I'm saying? It was literally, bro, like, you don't need to freaking, you know, you don't need to fly 1,000 airplanes, you know, a day, and you freaking, like, you drive, you know, freaking drive to the store, get your stuff, and, like, you know, come back home, or, you know, start walking more, you know, start biking, bro. Well,
that's also, too, no one had anything to do, so a lot of people started working out, too.
Yeah.
And, like, look how better you're living, and, like, and working out, instead of driving, you're, like, walking places, you're doing all this stuff, and, like, you're hoping that way, like, you know.
So, dude, like, and people don't, you know, they don't understand, like, how just, like, the small stuff, you know what I'm saying? Like, the small stuff, like, just small stuff in everyday life.
A straw. Like,
yeah.
A reusable straw. Like, oh, that's cool. Like, how would that impact? Well, every straw that you throw, something eats it, you know? Like, plastic littering is, like, a huge thing.
Yeah.
Like, that's one funny thing, yeah, too. People, like, suck. People start having to use masks, and then people, like, all complain about their masks, and then they throw the mask on the floor, like, yeah. Mask on the floor now, like, goddamn, how hard
it was. The dumbest, bro. Like, I remember going to Publix, like, you know, this was probably like maybe like a couple weeks into the month, you know, that we were like, it was just like it had first started, and you know, you're just walking in Publix, and dude, every single mask is on the floor, and it's just like, dude, there's like 7 trash cans right here, bro. like, what are you doing? Like, you could have even waited till you got home. You could have.
You need that mask on. Yeah. Why is it on the floor? You're
reusing the mask anyway. That's what I was trying to figure out. I'm like, what are you guys doing right now?
You
didn't even
get to the parking lot. Like, it's still in the store. Like, you walked out of the store without a mask.
Dude, it literally looked like, you know, as soon as you walked out, you just seen like 1,000 masks on the ground. Okay. And I'm like, bro, like, I don't know what you're doing right now.
Like, yo, you could have just thrown it away in the trash can.
You could have saved that mask, though, you know, like,
if you didn't want to save it, threw it away. But I guess this, I'm done with this right here. Nope, not. Oh, man.
Oh,
not,
yeah.
Another step.
Yeah, but people, yeah, man. People, and I just think, you know, like, we just have too much stuff. Like, I just feel like, you know, like when you go to, like, you know, like other countries, you know, and it's just like the difference in like air quality and just everything, you know, it's just like, okay, like, you know, it's cool to have like some stuff, but like, you know, people are so obsessed with just like stuff. You know, just like,
I know people that buy just to buy.
Yeah, yeah, like it's weird. It's so ridiculous.
Like, it was such a good deal. I just bought it. I'm like, but did you need it? No, but it was a good deal.
I know people that buy like that, and I'm just like, oh, yo, like it's on sale. And I'm like, well, like, do you need it? Like, I don't get it. Like, you know, like, so they're like, you're just throwing away, you know, like, whether it's, you know, two, yeah, three, four, $5.
Whatever. But you get it. It's just something that you don't need. But, like, yeah, I think people just need to wake up and start living, you know, being healthy, helping the environment, you know.
And, man, it's all, like, and it's so funny how everything sort of, like, it, like, comes, like, full circle. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? Like, because, like, when lazy people do stuff, like, you know, they're just like, you know, like, what's the easiest way, you know? So, like, I'm driving a car, like, around the corner, you know what I'm saying? Like, you know, it's just like, oh, you know, if I gotta, you know, you gotta take the, like, a trash out or something like that, you know? Like, you know, like, I gotta take the trash out, so I'm driving, like, to, like, the dumpster at the end of the road, you know what I'm saying? Like, no, bro, walk. Like, yeah, it's like, you know, it's simple. Like, dude, just walk down there. You know, like, you live right around the corner, like, bro, just, like, just walk there. Yeah. You know, like, you're just, like, you're legit so lazy. You're just freaking trying to figure out, like, the easiest way of doing stuff. And then, like, if you're, you know, you're lazy in the house, you just got everything on. You know what I'm saying? So, sending out more power and freaking affecting the environment even more.
Yeah.
And, yeah, man, I guess just, like, we just, like, just small things,
but bro. I think we're coming. I think, like, again, I think with the amount of the educating mm-hmm. that are going on now.
Yeah.
Like, the amount of documentaries that are coming out, the amount of people that actually are waking up and, like, looking at it, like, there's a bunch of organizations popping up to try to help out now. And I think it will come. I think the future looks bright. Hopefully it's not too late, you know, but I think it's, I know for aquaculture, for sustainable farming, for fish farming, it's the future.
You know, and I think the best thing is, you know, a lot of people look at, like, you know, like, oh, you know, it might be too late, you know what I'm saying? But then it's just like, okay, what if it's not? You know what I'm saying? And that's like, and bro, like, in order to get to, you know, that place where you want to be, you have to go, okay, but what if, you know, like, what if this is, like, something that we can turn around, you know? And what if, like, you know, what if we could sustain it like that? You know, and I think you're right about just the information being out there, man.
And it's cool, too. Like, I like what I do because, like, for example, if a little kid asks me, what do you do all day? Like, think about a job. Like, I just want to swim with fish. Everybody's like, Alex, that's not a job. What are you doing? That's not a job. And I'm like, well, I'm going to do it. I might not be swimming with them, but I'm farming them now. So I'm playing with fish. Literally, my job.
Yeah.
And then people are like, you get paid to do this? Yeah, I make pretty good money doing this, you know? So, like, you show a kid, like, yo, you can get paid to grow fish, or you get paid to do this. And, like, so I don't have to be that doctor, which is nothing wrong with being a doctor, but, like, think about it. A lot of people do the same professions and, like, don't do it. Like, no one does trades anymore. Like, everybody can go to school and just what they need to do. But, like, if it wasn't for doing plumbing, when I got into farming, like, it's crazy how life works. But yeah, like, it's the best part is showing, like, young kids that, like, when you show them what you do and you're like, this is, like, a opportunity. Like, I want to do marine biology, but everybody said there's no jobs, and I'm like, well, you gotta find the hustle, you know?
Exactly.
You make your own, like,
dude. And see, and that's the thing, bro, where we are right now is, like, dude, with all the technological advances, bro, you could literally, bro, you could literally just go on Instagram and start a company, bro.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? It's just like, there's so much, like, there's so much technology that you can do whatever you want to do. And, you know, like, you obviously there's sacrifices.
Yeah.
So, you know, like, but if you love to do this thing, like, go do it.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Exactly. Like, find a way. Like, and you obviously have to be realistic, you know, like, yo, you know, do I love doing it? You know, is it my passion? You know, like, does it, you know, like, does it correlate, like, with the way I want to live my life? So, you know, if you just want to make a bunch of money and you can't do that with doing what you love, you have to pick one. Yeah. You know what I'm saying?
No, for sure.
So, but, dude, the people, you know, like, so, you know, somebody making freaking $20,000, you know, like, loving what they do, and, you know, now they're going, you know, they're at their kids' practices and they're doing all of this and that. You know, and then you got the guy who's up here, you know, making $100 million, but like complains that he doesn't get to see his family and stuff like that. You just like, it's like, dude, okay, well, go do whatever you want. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like, and so I don't know. I do sort of like the way, you know, like the way we're going, because, you know, when you do look at, you know, people like the rock stars, you know, like Gary Vee, and you look at like Tom Bilyeu, and just like all these guys that are just sort of like, you know, rock stars and like what they love to do, and just sort of saying, you know, if you want to do that, you know, like go do that, you know. And I think it's going to be different for parents too.
Yeah.
You know, so it's not like, because like when our generation, like, because, you know, like the kids, you know, our generation, they're starting to have kids and everything. And it's going to be like, dang, you know, like, okay, my parents just told me to go do this, like to, like, they didn't, you know, they told you to both go be successful, but they didn't really define what success was. You know what I'm saying? Like, you know, like making a lot of money, that could be success to some people, but not like
the other people.
You know, yeah, like, but like having a family and enjoying, like, you know, my family time is like another thing. Like just like wanting to be a teacher, you know what I'm saying? Like, you know, teachers, you know, you get freaking, like, you literally work 180 days. Like, if that, you know, because you still get vacation time. So, like, you go, okay, well, you know, you're only making, like, whatever, 42,000 or whatever. You work 180 days. Like, you literally, like, you know, like, if you wanted to go do anything, you could do whatever.
Yeah.
You know? And so, you know, when you go, okay, like, yo, then I'm going to go do that. And I think we're sort of, it's going to be, like, a fundamental shift where we're coming, you know, and it's just like, dang, man, like, yo, I really love, like, helping, you know, the environment, or, like, helping animals, you know what I'm saying? Dude, all right, yeah, I'm going to go, you know, I'm going to go start something and, you know, maybe work for, like, an environmentalist nonprofit or something. Yeah. And still be just as happy as, like.
No, that's the best. And, like, the best thing is education, like, teaching, passing, you know, sharing knowledge, and then watching it expand, because it will. You know,
facts,
you,
bro.
You talk to the right people, that you gotta get out there. You know, like 3 months ago when I moved up to St. Augustine until where we are now, like we already did successful runs. We're looking, talking to different organizations. We talked to a few universities, and we have so much stuff in the works, and that's just 3 months. And I'm like,
dang, wow, that's crazy.
This is gonna be big. Like, this is gonna be big.
So, that's awesome.
No,
man.
Yeah. So the future for myself looks good. Never thought I'd be a Gator, but I guess still gonna bleed orange and green when football season comes around. Hopefully,
yeah. All right, man. You know, tell them where they could find you and just like your company and.
So, my email is a UF email. You can find me at a.depew@whitney.ufl.edu. My Instagram is Hog Hugger. My Facebook is, I don't know, Alex
Pugh. The Pugh, I think, you know.
Yeah, that's where you can find me for now.
Postcards, awesome.
Basically work cards are in the works, so I have all my information in one area. Kind of new when you have like 6 emails.
Yeah.
I don't know which one to give out anymore.
Oh, yeah, for sure, man. Oh, dude. I know you guys are going to freaking love this. Like, we went through it. This has been the work for so long. And, like, you know, like the fact that, like, he's my best friend and, you know, just, like, marine biologist, I'm freaking learning from this guy every day. I know you guys are going to take whatever you can from this and, you know, like, whether it's the, you know, the farming, the marine life, or, you know, just doing, like, what, like our part for the environment. I know you guys are really going to love it. Thank you for tuning in. That was my friend, my guest, marine biologist Alex DePew. I'm your host, Anthony Newton. You're on Woke with Anthony, and I'm out.